All right, we're in a series on the book of James, a letter written by Jesus' little brother to a group of churches, and he's challenging them to really look at the authenticity of their faith. They claim to have a faith in Jesus, but is that faith real, and is it changing them? And James deals with all kinds of issues. It's one of the most practical books in the Bible, written very much like the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And so James, who is a Jewish dude, writes very much like the Jewish literature he had in hand, just giving us a ton of wisdom. As followers of Jesus, if we are followers of Jesus, what does it look like to live our lives with the gospel changing us? And one of the issues he addresses multiple times is the issue of our mouths, our tongues, what comes out of our mouth. And he just really is going to push really hard for us to really take a good hard look at the content of our speech. Do you realize that the average person spends one-fifth of their life with this going? One-fifth of their life talking. The average person, if you were to take the average person and just write down, like transcribe everything that they said in a day, it would end up being a book of about 50 pages. Or over the course of a month, the average person in the course of a year, you would fill 132 books of 200 pages each, just with the things that you say. Somebody was transcribing what you say. And that didn't even count Twitter and Facebook and social media, where the tongue is extended by what you type, and the same kind of stuff comes out of you, right? And so if one-fifth of your life is going on, the Bible's going to address that, especially when that one-fifth of your life is so powerful. Now, I know some of you are in here like, yeah, not me. If you filled a book with what I say on the average day, it'd be like a kid's book of 3 pages, because some of you are introverts and don't talk a whole lot. And some of you, if you're like our family, that 132 books, 200 pages each, is like the daily content of our discussion, because everybody in my family is like this all the time. And we added twins to the mix that are just as bad. They're always talking and squawking and fighting and arguing. What they say gets them in all kinds of trouble. It happens just nonstop at our house. Somebody always has their mouth engaged, even at night when I snore. And so the Bible's going to address this, and James is going to challenge us to take a good hard look at what we say, what goes on in our words. And let me ask you this question right up front. Let's say we were able to take the last 24 hours and publish the book. What would you right now be trying to do to grab that book? What pages would you be trying to tear out because you don't want anybody else to really see what you actually said yesterday and this morning? I'd have a Sharpie that I would wear it out. Just one day, right? Just cross out this. I definitely don't want people seeing this. Oh, my gosh. But I said this. I was in my car. Nobody else was around me. I can't have that down, right? What would you have to cross out and hope that nobody would see what you actually said in those moments? And when does that come out? James has already spoken to us a couple times. As he's written, he's already spoken. He's actually going to come back to the issue of the tongue over and over and over again. But in James 1:19, James told us, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We're great at this as Americans, right? We flipped this. Our version of this, know this, my beloved brothers, let everybody be slow to hear, quick to speak, and angry all the time, right? That's like, that would be my life verse if we flipped it, right? James also said this in James chapter 1, verse 26. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now listen to what James is saying here. He's saying that I can go to church, I can do all the religious stuff, I can be a good person, I can help the little old lady across the street, give money to the poor, I can do all this stuff, but if there's just like mouth vomit coming out of my mouth all the time, if my tongue is not bridled, the truth is that my religion is worthless. James is one of the places, of a myriad of places, that helps us see that what comes out of our mouth is a true test of our discipleship. Now, some of us here are not followers of Jesus, okay? Some of us here are just kind of figuring this thing out and peering over the fence, just what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? And let me explain to you what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus does not mean you need to go home and clean up your language. Being a follower of Jesus is realizing that you are a sinful person who is broken from birth in desperate need of grace, and you run to Jesus as your hope, as your anchor. You realize that he died on the cross for your sin. He lived the perfect life you should have lived. So I sometimes mess up in my speech. Jesus did not. He lived the life I should have lived, and he gives me his perfection. And so I trust in Jesus. He saves me. He delivers me. He cleanses me. But for those of us who have trusted in Jesus, James is trying to say what should be happening in your life now. And he's going to tell us this morning that one of the things that should be happening in your life right now is that the way you speak needs to be transformed day by day. And so if you have a Bible, grab your Bible, turn to James chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there's one on the end of your rows. We'd love for you to have that one and read along with us in James chapter 3. If you have an app, open your app, and we will look at James chapter 3. In the Bibles we have at the end of your rows, page 870, so you can read along with us. And we're going to read through this passage about our tongue, about our mouth, about what we say. And as we read through this passage, we're going to look very carefully at just a challenge for the things we said. Now, one of the reasons we played Family Feud up front is because James does hint at a few things. But it would be very easy for us this morning to start thinking, what are the ways that our tongue gets us in trouble, and to pick all the ways that gets everybody else in trouble and never find ourselves in the text. James is amazing because he is going to say right up front, listen, this is to all of us. Now, some of you are introverts. And so your first response is, my tongue doesn't get me in trouble. I just don't talk. But the Bible's going to tell us that speaking the truth in love means speaking the truth in love, not speaking at all. And so one of the ways the Bible's going to help us see, if you read all through Proverbs, you read through all through the Bible, that this text does not let the introvert off the hook, because your way of processing is internal and never letting it come out of your mouth. The Bible's going to tell us that not speaking is not equal to not or to taming your tongue, which is what he's going to talk about. And so look at this with me. James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. Now let me just kind of set the stage for you. It's going to be about the tongue, but he starts with teachers. And what he's saying here is that those who teach in the church, those who end up being up front or Bible study leaders, community group leaders, those sort of people, they need to be the type of people that their life does line up with the gospel. Now, nobody's perfect. James is going to affirm that. We are all broken. But if there's not a measure of growth in you, just because you have a gift does not mean that you should get a platform. Because, he says, you will be judged more strictly. And I actually think what he means here is not necessarily judged by God, although that is implied. I think what he says is, if somebody claims to be a teacher and you're up here doing what I'm doing or in a community group, and the next thing you know, you know, somebody sees you out in the community and every third word is something that you would be covering the ears of your children, or there's a lot of angry speech coming out of your life, there's a disconnect between what you're teaching and what you're saying. That's a problem. And so he just right up front says, listen very carefully to what's being said here. And if you struggle greatly, you probably shouldn't be the person who's up front teaching. Not many of you should be doing this. Four, verse two, we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man able to bridle his whole body. So there's kind of the deal. You know, if you come to the point where you can, you know, keep your tongue from failing, you probably will solve everything else. You probably won't struggle with all these other issues, because if you can bridle your tongue, you pretty much got the rest of it down. But his point is that nobody does that. We'll see that. Verse 3. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Now, just look at, he's given us two illustrations. He's about to give us the third one. Illustration number one, and all these illustrations show us something very small that dictates the direction of something very big. So he talks about a bit in a horse's mouth. You put a bit in a horse's mouth, and then you take a rider. It doesn't matter how big the rider is. The rider has the reins, and because the bit's in the horse's mouth, a little bitty kid can now steer a really big horse and cause the horse to go wherever the kid or the person riding the horse wants it to go. You take a ship. You have a ship that's in the ocean, and it's a huge thing, or a sailboat, and it's got a little bitty rudder in the back of it, and depending on the type of boat, you may have a steering wheel or you may have something in the back, you're moving like this, but the bottom line is the rudder dictates the direction of the entire ship, even though the rudder is a very small thing. He's going to show us a fire here in just a minute. He's going to say a fire, when it's in control, is great, but just a really small spark can set the world on fire. And so the bottom line is in all three cases here, it's something very small that determines the direction of something that is very big. And if that something is out of control, everybody knows it's dangerous. A horse that's out of control is dangerous. A ship that is out of control is dangerous. A fire that is out of control is dangerous. So look at what he says. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Listen, James is not like being real sweet. This is not this, fireside chat. Let's just be gentle, kind. Listen, he's just kind of direct. He says, listen, the tongue gets us in all kinds of trouble. It stains us, like it pollutes us. It's a world of unrighteousness. It sets fires all over the place. I was a youth minister for a lot of years, right? Hanging out with teenagers, and spent most of those years this far from like being on the evening news, because teenagers do crazy things sometimes. And we were up at a camp up north in Missouri that was owned by the Missouri State Parks, but it was a state campground. And these three boys thought they would be funny. They had a smoke bomb, just a little bit of smoke bomb. And they thought, oh, this is going to be fun. And they threw that smoke bomb into an area with this really tall grass. They're like, man, look at that smoke bomb. It's funny. And they're laughing and cutting up. And they're like, man, that smoke bomb's got a lot of smoke. Look at that thing. That's the most amazing smoke bomb. Man, that smoke bomb's got flames. Oh, no. That's a fire. They literally set this field on fire and burned an area the size of this room. We were out there like everybody in camp running out there stomping, doing all we could to put it out. People coming out with water trying to put stuff out. The Missouri State Parks were not happy with us. This was not like among the top 10 things that had happened at a camp, right? We had made a mess, and it was just a little bitty thing, but it set the whole thing on fire. How many times have we, with our words, just said something spiteful, mean, angry, and just, man, we just said it. It wasn't a big deal, but it just set a fire off in a situation. How many of us have had something said to us by somebody we loved, a parent, a sibling, a friend at a lunch table when we were 13 years old, and the sting is still there? The pain of what was said, or maybe what wasn't said, continues to shape and hurt and burn. And James is reminding us, listen, this little thing we have in our mouth, this little muscle that we use to speak, can have a it can be used for great things, but it also can be used in ways that hurt and damage and leave us stained, set fires we can't put out, and create problems that we can't solve. And sometimes we live in a world where we think, I'm sorry is like a fix-all. My girls are great at this. They will say something to the other person, that is the other twin, six-year-old twins. They will say something to the other twin that is hurtful, spiteful, angry, and then think they can just run and go, I'm sorry. And the other twin just has to go, oh, it's okay, all's right with the world. And we kind of live with that mindset that I can say whatever I want to as long as it's coupled with, oh, I didn't really mean to say that. You know, I'm not really a hateful person, but let me tell you what I'm thinking. I'm not really a racist, but did you hear the one about, right? I mean, we kind of have that mindset in the way we see the world. And so James is warning us here. So let's go on and see what he says here. He says, verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So he started by saying, if you tame your tongue, if you bridle your tongue, that's how it shows that you're mature. And if you, like a person who completely tames their tongue, is really completely mature. And then he says, but nobody can do it. That's the point. So what we'll tend to run to in our lives is self-discipline. I'm going to come up with a plan to watch what I say. That this text is going to point us and push us in a different direction. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And so James is just telling us, listen, here we are, we're worshiping, we're praising, it's Sunday morning, we're singing great songs, the band's amazing, we're just like all of a sudden feel kind of comfortable singing, and then we walk out after singing songs that bless the Lord, and next thing you know, we're cursing the lady at the restaurant, like not literally cursing her, but or just like, you know, and blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. And he says, listen, salt water doesn't, or a freshwater spring doesn't produce salt water. A fig tree doesn't produce olives. There's something at the root that has to be dealt with. And so this morning, just from the text, I just want to point out a few things, just three things this morning that James wants us to learn about and from our tongues. Literally, listening to ourselves, if we'll listen to what we say, we'll learn three things. And my goal this morning is to show you that your tongue reveals the nature of your discipleship and help you apply the gospel to your tongue is our goal this morning. So three things James wants us to learn from our tongues. And the first thing is this. He wants us to learn the issue from our tongue, the issue with our tongue. What is wrong with this thing? Right? You ever say that? You ever just kind of go, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I got caught up in this moment. And, you know, it's different for all of us, okay? Some of us, our issue is that, you know, we just, like, can't get control of certain words. Some of us, it's gossip that just is always coming out of our mouth. And we're always like, you know, next thing you know, we're talking about people. Or some of us, it's just anger and resentful words or jealous words. Or, I mean, there's just all kinds of ways that we can use our tongue that ends up being the things that James says. But what happens is, I don't know about you, like, this is full confessional time. All the time, I'm like, I can't believe I just said that. And I've got these, like, petri dishes. Like God creates certain moments in my life just to test it. Let me give you a few, okay? Number one is when I'm driving to church on Sunday morning. Just telling you, I'm always in a hurry, and there's something about Sunday morning on 5th Street from the church office to the stoplight there across from Breadco. For some reason on Sunday morning, there's always somebody who thinks they need to drive 22 miles an hour in a 45. Is it a 40? There you go. Thank you. And a 40. But they're driving, they're not going 40. I can promise you that. And like all of a sudden, nobody's in the car with me. Or sometimes my kids are and they're like used to dad being angry all the time. Like this anger, I got to get there. Good. Don't these people know it's Sunday? Put the pedal to the right. Seriously. Like that's the word in our house that finally Mary bought a shirt. My daughter, Mary, my 6-year-old. Because she was always saying, seriously? Like, that was her word. Seriously? She bought a shirt. And I was like, where did she get this word? Me! I say it, seriously, come on. You know, like this anger comes out. That's Petri dish. Petri dish. That reveals kind of some things in the way I speak. When my team's losing, right? My team's losing. I'm screaming at the TV. Like the guy on the sideline can hear me. My kids are just looking at me like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, don't they know that how could they run this play? They're idiots, right? I mean, there it is, Petri dish. When my kids look way too much like me in the areas that I don't like about myself. And when I see in them things that I see in me that I hate about me, it is way too easy to be hurtful, spiteful, cruel. Because I don't want them to feel the same things I do, but I instead of being building up and honoring them, I'm demeaning. I put them down. I say things that can be cruel. Listen, you have yours. You have your moments that by God's sovereign design, he puts you in moments that reveals the character of what comes out of your mouth. And those moments are there by God's grace to show us how deeply we need the gospel. And that's what James is trying to help us see. Look at what he says. He says that in verse... He says that nobody can tame the tongue, but he talks about the fact that we tame all kinds of animals. He says that we, let's see, verse... Verse 7, for every kind of beast of the bird and bird, a reptile of the sea and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. In other words, he says to us that we are able to tame Shamu, right? We go to the Shamu show. We could go see the elephant show at Grant's Farm like we did this week, or the sea lion show, and it's amazing. We can take pretty much any animal and train it to do certain things, but nobody can tame the tongue. Nobody can put the tongue under their control and get to the point where they can handle it. And he says several things here. He says, starting in verses 5 and 6, he says, the tongue boasts of great things. It's a fire that sets the world ablaze. He says that it is a world of unrighteousness. It stains the whole body. It sets the entire course of life on fire. It is set on fire and then the tongue is set on fire itself by the very fires of hell. Like, this is a clear warning that we need to be aware and realize that there is something very real. We have an issue with our tongue, and we need to pay attention to it. The issue shows up differently in all of us, but it does show up because nobody tames the tongue. And so we realize this. We realize that words are hurtful, that words are spiteful. We even came up with some cute little ways to kind of say, listen, they don't hurt me. Like, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you, right? Except down deep inside, we know that words are damaging and damning and hurtful and painful sometimes. Or we might, you know, say the thing, you know, where we say, you know, it bounces off of me and sticks to you. Or we go all Pee Wee Herman, you know, I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? And we create mechanisms that try to shield ourselves. But the truth of the matter is we know from experience that words are hurtful. We probably know from experience that our words have the same damaging effect. There's an issue with the tongue. We need to be aware of this. And we just need to be careful and honest with ourselves about this. That's what James is trying to help us do. I'm serving as a youth minister. I already told you I did that for a long time on a trip. We got van loads of kids going to this camp. Not the same one where we burned a place down, a different camp, right? But van full of kids. And we're trying to go through Taco Bell line and feed like 60 kids. The girl there at front, God help her, it was hard. It was like overwhelming, this many kids. We were trying to figure out how to get it all together, and she was getting orders wrong. And I remember, here I am. Like, I'm big and intimidating before I say anything. I don't mean to be. And if some of y'all are intimidated by me, I didn't mean it. I'm really nice and cuddly and soft, okay? But there is a presence that I have, and my wife reminds me all the time, listen, you don't even have to open your mouth, and you're already intimidating people. So you say anything that's crossed, people are like, oh, please don't hurt me, you know. And I got teenagers all around me going on a mission trip, and I absolutely went off on this, like, 16, 17-year-old girl working at Taco Bell about her incompetence. I felt justified. She's just not, we're not being treated right. This is wrong. Don't y'all have better workers? And I go sit down, and all of a sudden I realize that I've got like 120 eyes staring at me going, who is this dude? There is a problem we have with our tongue, and James is not letting any of us walk out of this room going, let's talk about him. He's got the problem. James wants all of us to see that there's an issue with the tongue, but he also wants us to understand this. Not only is there an issue with the tongue, but there's a problem. What is the problem of the tongue? The problem of the tongue. So he points out that there's an issue with the tongue. And a couple more verses. I skipped over verses. Let me come back to this. Proverbs 18:21. He tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I mean, you ever think about this? Proverbs literally saying, listen, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you don't think that's true? Go Google all the stories in the past couple years of teenagers who've taken their lives because somebody posted something on their Facebook page or said something in social media or said something at the lunch table. Now Paul helps us. Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us that we are to speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love. So this is where those of you who are introverts are like, man, I got my way out. I don't have a problem with the tongue. I just don't say anything. There is a compelling call for us to be people who are speaking the truth in love. Some of us are really good at speaking the truth, no love. Some of us are really good at speaking love, no truth. And some of us are really good at just not saying anything at all, thinking that gets us off the hook. But the bottom line is that the push for us is to be gospel-centered people who are sharing our faith and living out the implications of the gospel and showing concern. And something has to come out of our mouth. And so speaking the truth in love. And so that's the problem, the issue with our tongue. Let's talk about the problem that the tongue reveals then. And we see this in verse 2. Now look at verse 2 again. He says, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. The word perfect there isn't like perfect, like you've never sinned at all. It's more the word of come to completion. You are what you've been created to be. And what he's literally saying to us here is that my tongue is a test of my discipleship. Like, if I'm going around saying, oh, yeah, I'm growing in Jesus, but there isn't a change in the way I speak, the change in the way I treat people, the change in the way things are coming out of my mouth. And I'm telling you, as somebody who's not arrived, but I think people who are around me, especially people who were around me back then, will say, you know, you don't respond to situations like you used to most of the time. Still have my moments. But this is what it's pushing us. It's saying, listen, discipleship is really one of the true tests of your discipleship. Your growth as a follower of Jesus is what's going on with the way you speak. You used to gossip, and that's changing. You used to just have potty mouth. You used to slander. You used to talk about people all the time. Yeah, you know, you used to be really like, you know, some of the people that are best at this are people who are satirical. Like in any moment, they have a great comeback, cut down response. My whole life is that I wanted to be that person, but I thought of the response like 5 minutes after the person left the room, and I hated the people who could do it, right? But we have all kinds of ways it shows up in our lives, and our discipleship is demonstrated through what we say. But as he says this, he points out a bigger issue. So look at the end of this passage, chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. He says, no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond produce fresh water. Now this is what he's getting at, and he's echoing the words of his own brother. Jesus said almost the same thing multiple times, and that is this. What is coming out of my tongue is genuinely a true reflection of what really is in my heart. What I say reveals who I am. And so my identity is truly revealed. We can be a person with a mask on who acts a role, but what happens is that when those petri dishes, those pressure situations, those moments that trigger this in us, what comes out of our mouth is a true reflection of what is going on in the heart. And he says, listen, if it's a saltwater spring, it's not going to produce fresh water that you can drink. And if it's a freshwater spring, it's not going to produce salt water. The problem is not the water coming out of the spring. The problem is what is the source of the spring. He says, fig trees don't produce olives. We know that. And the problem, if you want olives, is not that you, should try to make, like, cut off a couple branches and try to get it to produce olives. The problem is at the core of the tree. Because the fruit on the branches is just a reflection of the identity and the core being of the tree, right? And so here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, if your mouth, if what comes out of your mouth is full of hatred, you're a hateful person. If what comes out of your mouth is full of gossip, you are a jealous person who is trying to put yourself in a right situation by what you say and put yourself in right relationships and make yourself look better than everybody else. If you're a, you know, you cannot say, listen, I'm not really a proud person, but let me tell you about all my stuff. If you boast and brag all the time, there is a deep-rooted pride issue because what comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what is truly in your heart. If you're an abusive, angry person, or if you use a lot of abusive, angry words, you are an abusive, angry person. And James just wants us to really wrestle with the fact that what comes out of our tongue is really telling us what's deep down inside. And so if you want to know what your heart is really like, work really hard at letting your ears hear what you were saying. It will reveal who you are. And so the problem of the tongue is that it reveals what's in our heart. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. He said, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. And we think, oh, what does this have to do with words? And then he says it. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so James wants us to wrestle with this. Now, the tendency then is to say, all right, here's the message. Work really hard this week at having a different tongue. It's speaking, like being kinder in your words. Work hard at being gentle with your kids with the way you speak. Don't yell at the girl at Taco Bell. Don't cut that person down. I mean, work really hard at this. That's not where James or any place in the Bible is going to take us. The Bible never is going to point us to self-discipline as the solution. The Bible is always going to point us to the gospel as the solution. But to apply the gospel, one of the things we have to see is how deeply rooted the issue is. And our tongue is one of the greatest ways to see how deeply we need a Savior. And so the third thing I want you to see this morning is the solution for the tongue. How do we change this issue? How do we have our speech begin to line up with who we are? And part of it is that we need to understand deeply rooted that our tongue is showing us our identity. That the pressure points, the situations are revealing to us where we truly find our identity. If angry words come out at certain moments, look at what triggers your anger, or look at what triggers your gossip, or look at what triggers your profanity. Look at what triggers just the attitudes that show up. Look at what triggers you sitting down and starting to write a tweet or put a Facebook post that is just going to rip somebody to shreds. What triggers that? More than likely, whatever triggers the issues that are coming out of your mouth, they are attacking what you believe is your core identity. Who you really want to be on the inside. And more than likely, what those things are, or not more than likely, what those things are things that are challenging God as the true king of your life. So if you're a person who likes comfort, somebody attacks your comfort, you respond with vengeance, you have a comfort God. And you're just demonstrating that with your speech. If you like to be known and recognized by people and you love to be approved and have all kinds of approval, let somebody address and attack that approval, and that's when your tongue will begin to spew out the things, because you are now defending the idols of your heart with your language. And the solution, James is helping us see this, the solution then is self-awareness and repentance. Which means that I see myself for who I really am, and I begin to turn from me, and I turn to Christ as my hope. And there's a really interesting, subtle clue in the text that tells us how we begin to address this in our lives. And it goes back to his illustrations. He talks about a horse with a bridle, a ship with a rudder, a flame that sets everything on fire, right? In all three cases, those things are controlled by somebody who possesses them. And if they're held and possessed by the wrong person, we got trouble, right? For example, a horse who has somebody on the back who can't control the horse, and now the horse is taken off, that person is in deep trouble, and that horse is going to hurt somebody or something, hurt itself. I mean, it's a danger. A ship is even worse, okay? So here's another Mike story. Andy, my son, is a little dude, like 4 or 5 years old. We went to this place, and we rented one of these little bitty sailboats, right? It's kind of windy. It looked like a fun thing to do. The guy gave us a real quick lesson on how to sail, and you know, it's got this this little rudder back here that is attached to this contraption that runs the sail, and I'm sitting in the back of the boat. The boat's about, you know, yay wide, you know, and so it's not super stable. I get in, it kind of rocks, you know, and me and boats sometimes are a little fun. Me and a canoe is a very interesting issue, you know, and so I get into this thing, and I'm trying to steer it, and we get out, and we are in the middle of this lake, down at Trout Lodge, if you're familiar where I'm known. So it's a decent-sized lake. We're out in the middle of this lake, and I'm trying to get control of this thing, and I don't know what I'm doing. All I know is that the wind is catching us and moving us farther away from where I want to go, because I don't know how to maneuver this thing in the wind, and the wind keeps catching the sail and spinning it. Now, somebody who knows what they're doing, right? Somebody who knows what they're doing knows how to maneuver that thing into the wind. And there's certain ways that you move the rudder that spins the sail, that turns the ship where you're even going forward into the wind. I don't know how to do that. All I keep going is farther and farther away. And so I try to figure out how to do this, and I turn the rudder. The ship turns on a dime, and I roll out the back. And now my like 5-year-old son is alone in a sailboat going across the water away from me as fast as he can go. And he's just looking at me like, what do I do? And I'm like, if I knew, I wouldn't be in the water. They had to send like a rescue boat to come get us, right? And they went and they caught the boat, brought Andy in first, and then they came and found me. I had a life jacket on. I was at least smart enough to be. So I'm just out there in the middle of the water, just bobbing around, waiting for the guy to show up. He tries to pull me up in a boat. That was a different adventure. We won't go into that because I have personal issues with that. Like, you know, still have nightmares and but the bottom line is, here's this ship. The problem was not the ship. The problem was not the rudder. The problem, who was at the steers? The problem is not the horse. The problem is not the bridle. The problem is who is riding. The problem is not the fire. The problem is the person in possession of the spark. And here's the subtle clue. It's there in the text. He chose his illustrations wisely. The solution to the tongue as a rudder, as a bridle that steers the rest of me. It's not self-discipline. It's a different person at the controls. Discipleship is not me getting my life in control. Discipleship is me giving myself over to Jesus more and more each day. And as I give myself over to the King who loves me, who died for my sins. So my little tirade there in front of that girl in Taco Bell, I wish I could meet her again and say, I'm really sorry. I've done that before. I've had situations where I said things and then went, that was terrible. And just knew the Holy Spirit was calling me and go, look the person in the eye and go, I was an idiot. I'm really sorry. I was rude. Please forgive me. That's fun, right? But the gospel is working on me, and the idea is that is changing in me because a little bit each day I'm giving myself over to the King. It's not self-discipline. I'm going to control my tongue this week. It is me running to Jesus, trusting him, spending more time in his word, and getting to know him more intimately and more deeply, and giving the control, letting him be the person who's steering the rudder. Let him be the person who is running the bridles, because no one can tame their own tongue. My only hope is if I give my tongue over to Christ, who changes me. That's how the gospel works. And so it happens with repentance, self-awareness, realization, man, I'm terrible at this. I need so much grace here. I'm so happy for a Jesus who gives grace. And then it's repentance, which is turning from me, running to Jesus, and giving more of me every day to the King who loves me. That's how you change. That's the process. And our hope is in a King who is good, who is benevolent, who lived the life I should have lived and then died for me in my place and has the power to be in me who I can't be on my own. That's the application of the gospel. And so It does begin with a little self-awareness. James is really good at raising this question in us this week, and I just encourage you to really listen to what you say. But as you listen to what you say and it reveals what is in your heart, don't get depressed. Have hope. Jesus loves you. He embraces you. He forgives you. He is good. And so let your tongue this week and forever be what God created it to be, which is both a way for you to hear what's really in your heart, but then to begin to be that freshwater spring that worships. And so, like, we got to be careful. The application of this text is not, if I mess up, I can't worship. The application of this text is I need to worship more, because that is the way I changed the spring from salt water to fresh water, right? You get that? That's what he says in the text. It shouldn't be that we bless, worship God and praise him and then curse people. It shouldn't be that way. Well, we don't want to go and say, well, therefore I don't worship. No, we worship more so that we change the nature of the stream. And so our band's going to come up here, right? They're headed this way right now, and they're going to come on stage with us, and we're going to sing. And we're going to sing because we know we are desperate people who desperately need grace. Like, I'm so convicted right now. Like, I really want to get off the stage and be done, because enough self-confession time. I know that my tongue reveals a lot about me. But it's beautiful because it leads me back to Jesus. And so as we worship, our hearts are lifted. And so my challenge to you is right now, lift your voices, lift your tongues to praise of the one who is our hope. And then let the gospel start to sink into your life so that you figure out what it looks like to give more of me every day to more of Jesus. Let him transform you inside out. Let the beauty of this just change you. Okay? So here's what I want you to do, just for a moment. Let's pray. And I'm going to start with just a moment of silence, because my guess here is that a lot of us in this room, just in the last 24 hours, have moments where we really deep down inside need to go, yeah, I've messed this up bad. And I just confess it right now. Just be honest with God. Confess. Turn from it. Just be real with Jesus. And Lord, we come to you today thanking you for being a good and merciful Savior who rescues us. Help us, O Lord, with the challenge of the way we speak and our tongues. In your name we pray. Amen.